You're listening to Louisiana Insider, a superlative guide to a great state's destinations, hosted by Errol Labor, executive editor of Louisiana Life magazine.
It's our Louisiana song. It's our favorite melody. It's our Louisiana song. Hearing it echo through the cypress tree.
We're talking about numbers today, and lots of numbers, and from a person who knows a lot about what's going on and what those numbers mean. With me is Allison Plyer, who's the chief demographer for an organization known as the Data Center, which describes itself as independent analysis for informed decisions on Southeast Louisiana. And Florida, I think we can draw a lot of information about other places too. Hi, Allison.
Hey, good morning.
Toward the end of last year, there was a lot of attention that was given, and I know you were the source of some of the information about the decline of population in Louisiana. Why? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, when we think about decline of population in Louisiana, a lot of times people think about, you know, individuals moving away. But what we have to remember is that a big chunk of it is people dying. So we do have more people leaving the state than coming to the state, but we have even more people dying. And so that's a big contributor to the loss of population story.
Okay. Well, that's pretty frightening. Why are more people dying?
Well, you know, Louisiana has a lot of challenges. We have in 2020 and 2021, we had the fifth highest death rate in the nation. And that was in the peak of COVID, even when, you know, our state was doing some things right to try to prevent the spread of COVID and prevent fatalities. We've had a very high number. We've had the fourth highest number of drug overdose deaths, and drug overdose deaths have increased fivefold nationwide in the last two decades. It's just a spiraling issue. Another spiraling issue is gun suicides. And we in Louisiana have a higher rate than the nation as a whole. And the nation's rate of gun suicides is three times higher than any other wealthy country. So those are issues. Drug overdoses and also gun suicides are sort of particular to the U.S. and have been really growing. Another one that has been growing in the U.S. is pregnancy-related deaths. And there again, we have about three times the rate of other wealthy countries. Louisiana had one of the highest rates as well of pregnancy-related deaths. That mostly has to do with prenatal care and postnatal care and the quality of it. So all of those things we're now starting to see mixing in there is heat-related deaths. That increased about 88% in the last 3 years. And of course, Louisiana is subject to those as well. So there's a number of things in addition to COVID that really have contributed to the death rates across the United States. And then Louisiana oftentimes has one of the highest death rates.
Okay. Every one of those things is disturbing. Just to pick a couple, the pregnancy deaths, and you say, well, that's not the prenatal care. Is it because we don't have enough hospitals and facilities? Because we've always had a big public health system in Louisiana. And just a couple of weeks ago, Ochsner said it was building essentially another children's hospital, and we have a big one already in New Orleans. Is that what the problem is, or is it something else?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, the pregnancy-related deaths in the U.S. as a whole are about three times higher than other developed countries. And so what tends to happen is folks look at what's happening in those countries to see, you know, what the differences are. And yeah, there's a lot more prenatal care and also sort of postnatal care that is given to mothers after they give birth, you know, helping them recover, really, because it's a very big process, right? Giving birth. So, and in the United States, we don't do much for women before they give birth and after they give birth, and it leads to a lot of deaths.
That's an astonishing figure. How about the suicides by guns? Why?
Yeah, obviously there's an incredible proliferation of guns in our country, and We hear so much about mass killings. We hear a lot about just general homicide rates. We don't hear as much about suicide. And actually, the suicides account for the majority of gun deaths in the country every year. So we have more people killing themselves with guns than actually killing other people with guns. And again, it just doesn't make the news, right? In the same way that a mass shooting does. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing for people to be aware of. You know, people might attempt suicide using other means if they're having a mental health issue. But when you have a gun, you're much more likely to be effective at your attempt to commit suicide, to put it kind of bluntly. So because we have so many guns in this country, apparently we have more guns than people in the United States of America. You know, if a household has a gun and someone is experiencing depression, maybe they haven't even admitted it to their spouse, they might kill themselves. And we see that happen a lot, particularly among white men. Actually, middle-aged white men are among the most likely to kill themselves with a gun.
When you hear of mass shootings, quite often it ends with the shooter killing himself.
Mm.
Does that mean that there was some sort of rage that's just built up? And is it different from somebody like have the depression and who takes a drug overdose, for example?
Right. And you're right about pointing out drug overdoses as related to depression as well. You know, I'm not an expert at sort of mass suicides and shootings and the kind of mentality behind that. But clearly there are mental health issues there as well as when people commit suicide. One thing we know for sure is that the United States has been experiencing a mental health crisis for many years. Before COVID, about 11% of all Americans said that they were regularly experiencing anxiety and depression, and that has tripled since 2020 and has stayed at that higher rate. So we have a massive number of people who are experiencing anxiety and depression. And so, you know, that can lead to all kinds of behaviors that obviously are not what we would like.
We think of ourselves as a land of plenty and a land of prosperity. It seems like if this naturally we have less suicides because of anxiety.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lot that we don't know about, you know, what other countries are doing to really help, you know, their workers feel secure, have, you know, living wages, right, having good health care, having paid time off. Another one that we found was that that Louisiana had one of the highest death rates among the working age population from what's called external causes, meaning it could be accidents or suicide or drug overdose. And the reason is what they found is there's a strong correlation between having paid time off and not having paid time off. And the people who don't have paid time off are much more likely to die during, you know, during their prime years, right? Because they'll keep working when they're injured, or they'll take drugs to be able to keep working when they're injured. And other countries have really robust policies that mandate people get plenty of time off when they're sick or when they give birth, et cetera. And those are the kinds of things we don't have. So there's a lot of stories that we have in the United States about kind of who we are, but I think we don't really realize a lot of the amazing benefits that there are from some of the healthcare and other programs that European countries have and other countries do as well.
Well, like you hear with in France was like 3 months vacation.
Right. Exactly. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but yeah, it's a large amount. Right. And you know, France is a great example of, you know, paid childcare, you know, a lot of good post after women give birth, you know, the supports that they get, not just in terms of childcare, but just physically and also mentally. Right. Because we know there's also postnatal depression. Right. And that's something that, you know, we're not usually expecting, and people experience that a lot. And we're in France, they expect it, and they make sure that women who've just given birth have the mental health care that they need.
So is it that we have a stronger work ethic here, and people feel more of a pressure to be working, and whereas the French can go to the Riviera for 3 months and not worry about it?
We do tend to have, a very strong work ethic, whether it's, among rich people or poor people, right? Everybody tends to work very, very hard in our country. But, there are a lot of people who work really hard and actually don't make very much money. And then other people who work really hard and do make a lot of money. And that's not always based on level of effort. But yeah, we certainly do have a tendency to expect to be working a lot more than folks in other places.
The other reason you said people, in addition to the health reasons, that people are just leaving for the reasons, they're just moving from the state. Is that just jobs or other places or?
Right. Yeah, the number one reason people move from one place, outside of a metro area, like a real actual regional move, right? The reason they move from one place to another is for work opportunities, right? And unless folks are retired, and that's a smaller part of our population, but otherwise, people need a job, wherever they're going, typically. And so the reason they move from one state to another typically is because of a work opportunity. So when we see this, in this continuous outmigration from Louisiana, then, we know that it likely has something to do with the economy. The state was losing population, before Katrina, as we know. Then, of course, we lost a whole lot of folks when Katrina hit, and a lot of those folks were returning. So we had kind of for several years, for more than 10 years, we had, what looked like population growth, but it was probably mostly population return, right? And then about 2016, 2017, the state started to lose population and has been losing ever since to 2020. And the reason this would happen is because of, we're just not producing the kinds of economic opportunities that other places are. And it's not really surprising, because we know when what we know about the industries that create a lot of jobs are the new and emerging industries. Those are the ones that create jobs. What are called legacy industries, industries that are well developed, right? Like oil and gas, even tourism. Those industries will look to increase profit by shedding jobs, by using more technology, right, to actually have fewer workers, right? So it's really important that areas invest in new and growing industries, because those are the ones that are going to actually grow jobs more so than the legacy industries. And Louisiana, really hasn't done as much of that. It's really the coasts who have just taken off with all the tech jobs. And we've tried to do our part in terms of luring some tech companies, but ultimately, those ecosystems on the East and West Coast are so strong that it would be every other region is virtually left in the dust in terms of the tech industry. So the good news is that with the work that we've done planning for the restoration of our coast, we have de started developing an ecosystem of companies and financing systems, et cetera, that are going to be called upon in other parts of the country. That is an emerging industry, right? Coastal restoration, water management, and there's more and more money coming for that kind of work from the federal government through the infrastructure law that passed and the Inflation Reduction Act. And those are going to be really important opportunities for Louisiana.
So what would be an example of some of the coastal businesses that are the growth?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's a lot of industries that or companies that get involved in, the river diversions and whatnot, and the piping and dredging that is happening. So there's all kinds of dredging companies, right? Then there's all kinds of pipe fitters and welders and a number of folks. There's even boat builders who have to be involved in that kind of work. A lot of it could be redeploying some of the companies that have worked in oil and gas and may have less business than they did. I think what was it in 2016 or so when the oil prices started to drop and we saw a pretty significant drop in jobs in that industry. But all those companies that supported oil and gas, many of them would be very well suited to work in some of these growing water management industries.
You know, when you're talking about attracting new jobs, one thing that came to mind that has not seemed to have worked is the whole Michoud, Eastern New Orleans. I remember years ago, you had these organizations started to attract new jobs, and they were going to, you know, it was going to really be the really boom area. And not much has happened. You know, I mean, there was a space operation, which is fortunate, but beyond that, the transportation corridors that people were envisioning, it just never happened.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really an expert in sort of place-based development like that, so couldn't really speak to what was envisioned or what did or didn't happen. You know, you do every once in a while hear some announcements coming out of that area about, I'm not sure whether they had windmill blades for a while that they were producing, and maybe there's something more recently, but yeah, I don't know enough about that.
Okay. You also did study on post-COVID recovery. How has that gone?
Yeah, well, you know, COVID, of course, was very devastating in Louisiana, particularly New Orleans. Of course, we know that New Orleans was hit really hard early on with COVID, because that Mardi Gras season, you know, that happened right before COVID, you know, we actually know that the strain that was in New York came to New Orleans at that point and spread pretty rapidly.
Caught everybody off guard here.
What's that?
It caught everybody off guard when it came to
life. Oh, I know. It was horrifying, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just, it was just heart-wrenching. And, you know, like the rest of the country and many parts of the country, the folks who were most exposed were the people who couldn't work from home, right? And who were doing all those frontline jobs for us, you know, delivering the food, working at the grocery stores, et cetera. And, you know, a lot of those people don't make very much money. If someone got sick in a family, they oftentimes, you know, didn't have a separate master bedroom with their own bathroom that they could isolate in, right? They might be a family of four living in, you know, a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house. It's, you know, not everybody can isolate at home. And so we know that it was spreading more rapidly in among people who took public transportation. It was spreading more rapidly among people who lived in smaller homes. And, you know, there just wasn't much that we could do to stop that, unfortunately. So COVID was really hard. It hit hard our tourism industry as well. And Louisiana is still one of the few states that doesn't have as many jobs now as it did before COVID. Almost all the other states have recouped all their jobs and have exceeded their pre-COVID level, but Louisiana is still about 1% fewer jobs, which is probably mostly attributable to tourism. And the thing, one of the things we know about, you know, big shocks like COVID, like Katrina, other shocks, is that they accelerate pre-existing trends. So, you know, we know that tourism was looking to shed jobs as legacy industries do, looking, you know, it's a very labor-intensive industry. They were already looking at, you know, how they could have fewer housekeeping staff in hotels, right? And then, you know, this really pushed forward using, you know, kiosks instead of desk clerks, you know, more and more technology to actually replace staff. And so, you know, they may have just as many visitors, tourist-wise, as they did before COVID, but there's fewer workers. And that's what happens with legacy industries. They look to shed jobs.
Well, talk about being depressing. I remember driving downtown in the business district in New Orleans during the height of COVID, and that was depressing. You know, to see all these buildings and all these hotels that would often be bustling, to see a lot of people, and they were empty. It was really sad.
Yeah, I know. It was creepy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really creepy.
So the other statistic that people were talking a good bit about is crime. And what we're hearing is that violent crime is down in the New Orleans area and usually across the nation. Some forms of crime are increasing, but overall, there's a decrease. Why?
Yeah. You know, I think that's an excellent question. And, you know, it's I always read, you know, what the experts are writing about it. And it's intriguing to me that I think the experts don't really know. There's like theories, but I think the experts are not really actually talking directly to the communities that are affected or the individuals who are involved in these behaviors, right? So they're just kind of guessing. I mean, all we know is that crime went up like crazy across the U.S. in every city in 2000 and in late 2020 and 2021, 2022, and then it's come down. And everybody was challenged with mental health issues. So, if someone's having an issue with mental health, that could certainly be an explainer, right? I mean, if we can't contain our rage or our upset or our frustration, sometimes people act out who might otherwise be able to contain themselves. So it may have been associated with mental health. The things I think we don't know is like in what ways was the drug trade, or just drug sales locally, right? Not internationally, but just the kind of were people, getting in on each other's territories, like what was happening, because those will cause a lot of that will cause a lot of violence. But we never hear the experts talk about those things, and we don't really know what was happening in the communities that was causing that kind of spike.
You listen to the news, and it doesn't seem like crime is going down. It's just like every day, there's shootings out there. But yeah, I guess the big picture is I think New Orleans ended the past year with something like 200 and something murders, which is a lot. But I remember in the 80s, I had a friend who worked for the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee, and he says that they had about 400 murders. In the 80s, he said, like, it was about one a day. And so to think that since then we've cut it in half with no, well, I guess the population is less. I guess that's one reason. But it's that's a pretty dramatic cut.
Yeah, it is a dramatic cut. Yeah, exactly. And you probably know some of the programs that have been instituted in New Orleans and other places. I think like one is called Ceasefire, where they talk to someone who might have been shot but didn't die, and then they work to make sure that they don't continue the cycle of violence, like that there's not a retribution, right? And that kind of thing has been effective in some places. I'm not sure how it might have influenced the most recent stats, but that has had a big impact in New Orleans in the past.
So maybe we're just getting better too at educating people who are crime prone, and I don't know, maybe something's working out there.
Yeah, maybe something's working out there.
Yeah. When people leave the Louisiana area, where are the go-to places that they tend to go?
Yeah, the data that the census releases doesn't include that. So we can't really say. I mean, we can say that, other southern states are growing and gaining population. Well, New Orleans is not. I mean, even Alabama has seen increases from other parts of the country. Arkansas, of course, Florida's growing, Georgia's growing. So yeah, Louisiana and Mississippi are two of the southern states that had, population loss, meaning people leaving the states, whereas other southern states have seen growth. So, which is not to say that that's exact that Louisiana folks are going to other southern states, but certainly those states are growing.
I would think another reason that people would want to leave Louisiana is just being scared about hurricanes. I mean, we've seen someone, anybody who was here for Katrina and the other ones we've had before, you kind of start thinking hard about that once it gets to be like June and what the next few months might be like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, think that when we talk about people moving from one place to another, there's what we call pull factors and push factors, right? And so typically the number one reason people move from one place to another, not like the city to the suburbs of the same area, but like move out of a metro area, move out of a state, move out of a country, is for a pull factor, right? They're like, and that's jobs. You could relate to this. We all can. We also would think about like, what are our social networks there, right? If I got some great job offer in like, Kansas City, first thing I would think is like, well, do I know anybody there, right? Because like, it always helps to know somebody to help you get settled. The same is true when people are coming from Latin America, right? They'll come to cities where they know somebody, typically, unless there are push factors. And push factors are something like what you're talking about, like concerned about hurricanes, for example. We know there are clearly big push factors happening in Venezuela right now, where like the whole country is so unstable, right? So lots of people are coming to the United States. People will come without a job, right? They will come without a social safety net, without a social network when there's a big push factor. When you think about fear of hurricanes, that's not that big a push factor, right? It would, if someone was retired and feeling like, oh boy, I don't want to tried dealing with all this evacuating anymore. And they had family somewhere else. That'd be very predictable that they would move to that other place where they have family, right? But if they're retired and all their family is in New Orleans, they're probably going to stay because, this is where are they going to go that they would still have support that they need to, that's as we all do as we get older, right? So what you tend to see is, and then there's also an aspect of wealth and poverty and the middle class. So the middle class will start to see the spiraling insurance costs and realize after a while, some of them they'll say, I'm getting priced out. And they have social networks elsewhere and enough money in the bank to actually make a move, right? Now, the wealthy folks who want to stay can make the choice to self-insure. And we'll do that. And we'll see folks doing that. But the poor folks who can neither afford insurance nor have the means to move or social networks that are very, far away, will end up staying and be uninsured and just deal with whatever comes. So, you could start to see a scenario where some of the middle class in southern Louisiana would be moving away. But again, they would have to find a job somewhere else. Right, and feel that they could get a job somewhere else, and usually have some social networks elsewhere as well.
Well, this will be a big year in Louisiana, I hope, as far as the insurance issue, because the new governor and the new insurance commissioner and the new legislature are all agreed they're going to be having special sessions to try to fix what they can with insurance. And so that could be at least a big step in one area.
Yeah, well, I think it's smart that they're making it a priority because it is clearly, a concern. And I'm not enough of an expert in insurance to know what they should do, but hopefully, what they will do will make a difference.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is particularly your area, but from your mastery of numbers, I just want to see what your impression is. I'm wondering about the future of downtowns, with buildings losing a lot of their population, a lot of people working at home now. There just doesn't seem that vitality that there was downtown. And once the buildings start to empty, then the little service places around them, the shops and all of those things, empty too. Do you have any sense about, I guess, downtowns and what their future is?
I think it's a really good question. I mean, I think there's a couple things we need to remember that there's, it's still a less than half of U.S. workers actually can work from home, and then of course some companies are, even if people could work from home, aren't supporting that. So, but that still is, an impact on downtowns. Now, New Orleans, in a way, is in a better position than other cities because we didn't have the kind of building boom that downtown that sort of overbuilding really that some other cities had. So we may not even be aware that other cities really kind of overbuilt their office spaces. So they're having more struggles now, many other cities than New Orleans is. New Orleans doesn't have quite the sense of empty office buildings that other cities do. But that said, what we're also seeing in lots of cities, including New Orleans, you look at the CBD and the number of buildings in the last decade or more that converted from like warehouses to condos or whatever, or apartments, that is adding a lot of vitality, right, to those areas that just really wasn't there before. And you see that in different cities around the country as well, that there's like, you do have the young people who want to live there. I mean, it's interesting because there was sort of the expect prediction that a lot of those people, once they got to the point where they wanted to marry and have kids, would like move to the suburbs. And to some extent that happened, but it seems that like young people are kind of filling right in behind them, right? So people are hitting their like mid-30s or 40s, maybe some of them are moving to the suburbs, but a lot of young people are just moving right in behind them in the city. So there seems to be a lot of demand for living in cities, which is very different than working in cities. It may be that we'll start to think about how we can convert some of that office space to living space.
I want to know if, okay, for each office building converted into condos, then the idea, okay, well, young people want to live downtown. One reason they want to work downtown or live downtown is because of the office buildings, because there's work downtown. So if you're losing the downtown workforce, it's being replaced by condos, but the people in the condos may not have that workforce out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's not quite the dynamic. I mean, I think that young people are working from home. A lot of the buildings that are getting built, certainly at least in other cities, I haven't seen it in New Orleans, but might be there too. The way they're building these buildings is assuming people are working from home, right? So there might even be like a WeWork kind of, not a technically a WeWork, but a common workspace in some of these buildings, along with the gym. And I think that the expectation in some of these conversions is that people will be working from home, right? So it's not that they need an office space to go to, and young people want to all be co-located, right? They don't want to like live out in the suburbs with all the grandparents, right? They want to hang out together, and have a good time, and they like that, all being close together, right? So I think the fact that they're not going to offices is not really the issue.
What's your feeling overall? Are you optimistic about, first of all, about New Orleans and about the country? I mean, just what's your feeling about things? I know that's a big question.
Big question. I mean, I think we all are really starting to experience climate change, and there's some likelihood that like every summer from now on out will be as hot as last summer was, and maybe even more so, which is a pretty scary thought. I think that it's really important that states like Louisiana invest in the reality that we're going to have these issues. So you might know about the community lighthouses, right, where they're putting like solar panels and Tesla batteries on churches and community centers, right, so that if the power goes out, which happens more in Louisiana than any other state, that people have somewhere to go where they have power, right, to stay cool. And even when there's excess heat days, we need places where people can go cool off. Those kind of investments are going to be ramping up with all of this federal money that's coming from the Infrastructure Act and also the Inflation Reduction Act. And the question is, will Louisiana use those wisely, right? That could make a huge difference in the future of the state. And that'll be that, it's going to be like once in a generation funding that the state gets and that localities get. And if we use it well, it can make a huge amount of difference. It's meant to make a big difference. Now, the homeless crisis is enormous around the country, and as we see it in New Orleans, but it is not unique to New Orleans. So, it's an issue that's been coming for a long time with the increase in cost of housing and insufficient supply of housing, and so it's no surprise.
So who are the homeless? Is it people on drugs? Is it people who just kind of lost out or just don't have anywhere to go or what?
I haven't read about the homeless. I haven't read studies that would help answer that question. So I couldn't actually tell you, but I mean, I think one thing we need to realize is that there is not enough housing in the country. Once the 2008 Great Recession hit, there were a lot of construction companies went under, and we have been underproducing housing ever since. And so we have way more people who want housing than housing. And when you have, more demand than supply, the prices are going to go up, right? And then that's going to just make it more unaffordable. So that's going to be part of the cause. But the truth is that being, living without a home, on the street, as many, many people are, will affect one's mental health in a very detrimental way, right? And so a lot of these folks might have had some mental health issues beforehand, but they certainly do now. So there's a lot of support that they're going to need in order to and we, as a country have to build a lot more housing to address the issue.
I hope municipality. Well, I know municipalities are trying to figure out how to deal with it. New Orleans, there's a task force, and they're trying to figure out a way to get more housing. But it's and there are some areas that they're trying to move around the population. But it's and just seeing the people, just seeing the people standing on the street corner, and man, I hope we can find something. Well, thank you very much. Let's just link back to New Orleans real quickly, and my question about optimism. And look at it, well, Southeast Louisiana, which is your area of expertise. Do you feel good about things, or what needs to be fixed?
Well, like I say, I think, the brightest spot is that there's all this federal funding coming, and it can be used for so many things that could employ a lot of people and help us be more resilient. So weatherization of homes, right? Like installing solar panels, more stronger bridges and levees, and all and other ways that we manage water. All of that will be a tremendous boon economically and also to our resilience, and that's going to be really critical. The insurance thing has got to be solved one way or the other. That could dramatically impact the demographics of the region, as I said. Could become a place where only the wealthy and the very poor can will be. And so they've got to address the insurance issue, and it's a big one because I'm not sure because we're not the only state. Florida's insurance industry is in crisis. California's industry is in crisis, and then and it's actually affecting the whole country, not as bad as it's. Is affecting these three states, but insurance rates are going up everywhere because the insurance companies in general are national. So it's a big problem. We need to have strong the Stronger Roofs program that the state just started is needs to be expanded. We need more of that, right? All of these things are going to be absolutely critical, and we're not alone, in these issues. So the key is will we be smart in the way we act?
Bob Becker, who was a longtime CEO of City Park, he's now retired, but he's said a couple of times that, and City Park is beautiful. It's a wonderful park. It's one of the great parks in the country. And he said the two best things that happened to City Park in its history in terms of being able to develop and funding, the first was the Great Depression because of the WPA. And that the WPA just put a lot of jobs, and you drive through City Park and you see those beautiful, benches and the statuary, the Enrique Alvarez projects, those kind of things. And he said that that really was the first step towards saving City Park. And then the other thing was the funding that came in after Katrina, that they had developed a master plan but didn't have the money to fund the master plan. After Katrina, they had that. And so here were two disasters that got federal funding that ultimately helped save.
Right, exactly. That's a really good illustration of what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of federal funding that's coming, and the question is, will we use it well?
Yeah.
And if we do, it will help a lot.
Okay. Allison, thank you very much. It's been very informative, and thanks for the good work that you do.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to see you. Great to be with you.
Okay, thank
Thanks.
you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Louisiana Insider. Subscribe, like, and rate our show where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on social media at Louisiana Life Mag. Executive producer for Louisiana Insider is Kelly Massico, in cooperation with Louisiana Life Magazine. For subscription information to Louisiana Life, call 504-828-1380. Our theme music was provided by Rich Collins. Hey, that's me. Join us again next week for more discoveries inside Louisiana.